Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Do we need a crackdown on Airbnbs across Ireland? Because the government's planning to target Airbnbs to try and help with the housing situation. They seem to think that it could bring about 12,000 short-term lets back into the long-term rental sector. And apparently these new laws will mean that landlords are going to have to register their short-stay accommodation, or they could face being fined about €5,000. Fiona is with me in Wexford today. Is this the right move, Fiona?
I actually do think so. I think they're, you know, I'm in a funny situation. I'm both sides of the fence. We're pivoting our business at the moment to create two Airbnbs as a food destination in Madeira. But I also have two kids, one who's just completed college in Dublin and one who's heading to college in Dublin. And the trying to find accommodation was a nightmare. So I've been on, I'm kind of on both sides of the fence with this, but I think regulation can help because then it can target specific areas. I mean, under Airbnb, you're only legally obliged to declare your income in your income tax return. There's no, like I run a business, I have to have insurance, I have to have fire safety, I have to comply to local laws, et cetera, et cetera. If there was a bit more regulation in the Airbnb, then we could target the areas that need, you know, more accommodation or what would be more touristy, and instead of just leaving it all down to the homeowner to decide.
You have to register with your local authority, don't you? You have to notify the county council, I thought, too.
Oh, do you? Okay. I thought it was only if you have 90 days.
I thought so. I thought you had a number of days to do that. If you were renting, we'll say, for, you know, X number. I could well be wrong. Perhaps Fiona, that rule has changed.
If you stay for 90 days or over, you need to declare a change of use with your local authority.
And that's if the one... Yeah, okay. So that's if the if one
that,
tenant...
if you're just doing one or two nights, you know, it's
you
a nice little side hustle. If people have, you know, a property or whatever, that an inheritance property, say, that instead of selling it, they set it up as an Airbnb, they can, you know, turn over a few bits and pieces in it. But we need to know where these are. Then, you know, we don't want Barcelona happening here, you know, where tourists are, you know, targeted specifically because locals can't get accommodation. My only issue with it really is that we as a nation are so good at self-regulation. I think that's the fear, that the screws will be turned so tight it won't be a viable business for people.
Yeah, like they seem, Airbnb works really well in every other European city. So, you know.
Well, does it though? Because this is what I say about Barcelona. You know, they have had protests about Airbnb. Tourists have been targeted because of the Airbnb. They have the same situation as us where they just can't get accommodation in the city.
Yeah, but we're actually telling the homeowners, like, because we have failed to create and to build and to have more houses available to rent for people, whether it's through homelessness or houses for people to buy, whatever the situation, we're now turning to people who have Airbnbs or second properties, and we're telling, like, we're putting the squeeze on them. They have to sort out the housing situation.
Well, the regulation isn't necessarily a bad thing. As I say, it's just we're rather fond of it in a kind of screw-turning way, which is where I think the reluctance to declare comes in. But, you know, you need to ensure that you've got adequate fire safety. You know, you need the health and safety. You need proper head-to-toe insurance. You know, all those things. And I mean, when we go abroad, I do stay in Airbnbs as opposed to hotels.
Yeah.
And the service I get or the property I get varies greatly. You know, what is provided, you don't always get what you think you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
There can be all sorts of additional, you know, messing going on. Additional charges or whatever. I've seen one that you have to pay extra if you're going to use the washing machine. You know, just an even playing field. And, you know,
okay.
if they look at targeted areas for accommodation, for students, for example, for nurses, for public sector, you know, frontline workers, where they are, you know, they're not necessarily where tourists need to be.
It's a fair point, Fiona. Stay with me for a few moments. I want to bring Barry in. Yeah, Barry, you're an Airbnb host, I believe, in County Clare. It's an area we hear a lot about all the time, the number of properties that aren't available for people to rent because of the number of Airbnbs. So is this crackdown needed?
Well, we have a serious grievance. We feel that we're being unfairly blamed for the accommodation crisis in this country. We believe we're providing a service. If we didn't provide the service we do, where would tourists go? Tourists brings billions into this country, into the economy. And there just isn't enough of hotel beds out there. And, you know, we're tired of being blamed for this. Half of what we take in, our profits, goes in tax. And if we weren't here, you know, what would happen to the tourism industry?
Well, is more regulation needed then?
Yeah, it's just, maybe regulation would be good. Some regulations, I'm going to listen, too much regulation.
Well, I think what they're talking about here today, or certainly what I'm reading in relation to the government's planned crackdown on this, is that we'll say that the likes of yourself, Barry and Fiona, you'd have to register your property, your short stay accommodation. So you register it, and then if you don't, you could face a fine of $5,000. But I doubt, would that deter you from registering?
Well, it depends. You see, with it start coming in with all sorts of rules and regulations, that would be extremely expensive to implement. Then would there be a fee? Is it the thin edge of wedge? If it was light regulation and the fees weren't too severe, okay, yeah, I think we would support that. But would it mean, first and foremost, we're talking about planning permission. Would we get planning or would we be turned down for planning? And that's what we fear.
Mm. Fiona made a good point, though, around the likes of insurance.
Yeah, well, we all have to. To be honest with you, I disagree with her on that because we all fear somebody tripping and getting sued. And none of us would like to face the general public without insurance in this country. You might get away with it in some other European country, but you're not going to get away with it in this country. You know, we may have shortage of accommodation. We certainly do not have a shortage of lawyers out there. And, you know, we do have compo culture in this country. So, you know, I don't think any responsible Airbnb owner would go without insurance.
Mm. So if it's a case, and look, I know we need to get the fine print on this, it's yet to be announced, but if it's a case that you know, there's regulation brought in for, we'll say, people like yourself, Barry, first of all, do you have a full, is your property that you rent out on Airbnb, is it solely used for Airbnb purposes?
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happened was, I have a shop here in Ennis, and we had people renting the unit beside us. And they moved out, and we tried to rent out the building, and nobody would take it off us. So then we just turned upstairs into an apartment, and we tried the Airbnb, and it took off straight away. You know, because our attitude was, well, half a loaf is better than none. And we've had last year was quite a busy, we had a very busy summer last summer. And, like, where would these people go if we weren't there? You know, and, you know, I would say there's a lot of, I think Airbnb issued some figures last year. The bulk of ordinary Airbnb people, we're not talking about corporations, we're talking about ordinary Irish people. Well, average profit was around €5,000, which isn't a whole lot. But it's good. Yeah. You know, helps people put kids through college, provides a service for tourism, helps with their mortgage payments, and it stays in this country. It's not. This money isn't sent to a foreign bank account. It stays in the circular economy.
So if there were rules around, some sort of terms and conditions that you know how to meet, had to meet as an Airbnb host, you're still likely to continue doing your Airbnb then, Barry, I take it?
Yes, as long as they're not too severe.
Katie Mack is with us. Katie's from the Opinions Matter podcast. Do we need a crackdown on Airbnb, Katie?
No, I don't think so. I completely agree with your previous caller, Barry. And I just want to go back to something Fiona said there about, you know, you could keep the touristy areas, but then that's discriminating against landlords in other areas, what in the areas that aren't so nice or aren't so posh. I mean, this is just, I think, another form of possibly control and just to make money. If I'm a homeowner or a landlord, which I'm a homeowner, I'm not a landlord, but it should be up to me what I want to do with my property. We also have lost a lot of hotel spaces due to international protection. So that's already having a knock-on effect with tourism. This would be taking away people's choice, where the tourism industry has already been greatly affected by the, you know, refugees, asylum seekers, even people, Irish homeless people who are living in hotel rooms and that. I mean, pretty soon, if it keeps going like this, there's going to be no choice for tourists. We're going to lose, not only are we going to lose money for the money that's being invested into, you know, the people who are living in these Airbnbs if it happens, but also the loss of tourism that, and the money that generates. It's just a ridiculous idea. It's kind of targeting landlords yet again. If, as I said, a landlord should have the choice to do with their property what they want. And this is just, this also gives, means that the government are getting to decide who's living in the property without the landlord, what I assume the landlord won't have any say who lives in the property.
Well, like, you've heard both Barry and Fiona there that, you know, that are in as Airbnb hosts. Like, this isn't going to deter them from continuing on. If they have to register or whatever they have to do, they'll likely continue to be, you know, work in the Airbnb area or rent out their house or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but penalising, I just think penalising, what did you say, $5,000?
$5,000. Well, you have to register your short stay accommodation, and if you don't, you face being charged €5,000. But I suppose it's the terms and conditions of what this registration means.
I'd be more concerned about the knock-on effect it would have with tourism. And like I said, many, I know in my area, there's one hotel that would have been a late night bar, a nightclub, would have been a restaurant Monday to Friday, and obviously hotel rooms as well for tourists. And that's gone. That's all international protection. And that has a knock on effect locally, I'm sure. So on a bigger, on a grander scale, if this is done, it's going to give tourists less choice, which is going to mean it's going to have a knock on effect with money being generated in the country and people coming into the country.
I see that point. It's absolutely, it's likely to affect those in the tourism sector. What about you, Paul? Like, do you agree with Katie on that? If you're somebody that owns a second property and you rented out an Airbnb a couple of times a year, it's your house. Should you not have that right to do with it what you like?
I think that, yeah, that's a fair point. You should have. But I'm more interested in the effect that the proliferation of Airbnb has on the wider economy, people like myself maybe who might be looking for accommodation. But also then you have to think about, if we have too many Airbnbs and not enough private rented accommodation, where do the people come from to service the tourists who come into those Airbnbs? Where do the bar workers live? Where do the chefs, the service staff and that kind of thing live as well? So I think it's really a question of balance. I don't think it's very extreme to say that people can't do what they want with their own property. But at the same time, I don't think we should allow too many Airbnbs in, for example, where I'm from here in Galway, where you can see a proliferation of lockboxes on the streets in the last maybe 10 years or so. I think it's really a question of balance.
Does it matter where the Airbnbs are? Because I know that's an issue for a lot of people typically. You know, if I have a house and I decide to rent it out tomorrow and I turn it into an Airbnb in what is a very residential area.
Well, I suppose it depends on the nature of the people that stay in the Airbnb. I mean, I do know, and you hear, and I think I've heard on your own show or definitely on some other radio shows, of older, more mature residents of apartment blocks where they have been bracketed by Airbnbs that are hosting things like stag do's or hen do's or parties, and their lives have been very adversely affected by that process, you know. So again, it's a question of balance, I think.
Interesting text from a listener here who says Airbnb is responsible for house prices in West Kerry jumping 400,000. No long-term lets available. Most are paying very little taxes. Repeat business is done privately, and therefore there's no records. Dingle Town can't be put out. Can't put out underage teams. There's not enough people living in the town at all. Completely pushed out by Airbnb, says this listener. It's in relation to Dingle. You're noticing a lot of this in Galway, then, Paul. A lot of properties,
I mean,
Airbnb.
Roundstone, well, even outside of Galway city itself, Roundstone, for example, it's not just Airbnbs, it's also second homes, holiday homes. And it's impossible for anybody who's from the area to actually be able to afford to buy a house out there. And then again, as I say, you have that knock-on problem then, that where do the staff come from for the pubs or the restaurants, hotels out there when there's nowhere for them to stay.
I see a couple of texters making that point too as well. Another listener says, we're lucky enough to own an apartment in Dublin, but we live in Cork, which we use as a holiday home like a Dubliner might use a holiday property in Kerry. When we or other family aren't there, yes, we let it out in Airbnb. And what's wrong with that? It'll never be let out to long-term tenants. So why can't I do with it what I want? Linny is with us. Linny, you're an Airbnb host too.
I am.
Yeah. How do you feel about this potential crackdown on your property today?
There's a whole circle of things going on that goes back 40 years to the government not relying too much on the private sector for housing, and it's come back to bite them. But they found an effective scapegoat in the short-term rental host. and
you feel you're being used as a scapegoat?
Yeah, for the government not doing their job. But even the headline saying bringing 12,000 Airbnb properties back to long term. There are three mistakes in that sentence. The 12,000 is admittedly back of the envelope calculation. And we did a survey, and really it's take a zero off that. At the best of times, you might get 1,200 back.
Why?
They weren't there in the first place. They weren't there in the first place. They weren't long-term in the first place.
So your place or your apartment that you rent out, Linny, it was never available for long-term rental, was it not?
No, and it could never be because of the RTB rules. And a lot of them are, I'm coming from a rural point of view, that a lot of them are farm buildings, and Airbnb money is used to fix up those farm buildings. They could have a tree growing in the middle of them. I know of one woman who did, she had a tree growing in the middle and she fixed it up. Or holiday homes that are properties that are underutilized. The family goes there a few times a year and it's just sitting there otherwise. So at least it can be used for tourists to bring money into the local economies that have already lost their post offices and banks. And it's something for the small villages. And the Airbnb is being used for all short-term rentals. Airbnb is very convenient to use. But there's other short-term rentals out there.
So
I think
if there is some form then of government crackdown on the likes of your Airbnb property, Linny, what will you do with it? Like, will you register and continue to Airbnb, or would you try and rent it in the long-term rental market?
No, because some people have been doing this for over 20 years, and then suddenly they move the goalposts and say you have to have a modern septic tank or this and that. Like, it was fine before. It's like coming up to a family and saying, we've changed the rules. Every one of your 6-year-old and your 4-year-old both need their own bedroom. And changing the rules that way.
Okay, all right. Mal is with us on the line as well. Mal, you were with me here on the show about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about Ireland's hidden homeless and you faced that very situation. How have things fared out for you since?
Not bad. We have a temporary place for a couple of months, which is great. The Airbnb thing, it's a sticking plaster. It's a band-aid for an amputated limb, what they're trying to do, Andrea. It's absolute nonsense. I mean, I know a couple of Airbnb owners in the Tramore area. Now, in the summer when they're busy, they're hiring a cleaner. They're also feeding the local laundrette a lot of money. They're paying a lot of tax. They're small business owners. Now, I think it's just playing to the crowd as usual with this government for the last 13 years. It's all they've done. They've left ghost estates to fall apart. There's a story in one of the papers the other day, one up in Kildare somewhere. It's been left to get into such a bad state. They're going to have to demolish it to rebuild it.
Okay, because you're somebody, you know, and I remember listening to your story, Mal. Obviously, when you were with me 2 weeks ago, you're somebody that might really benefit from this change in rules around Airbnbs if the government is to bring this in and enforce this sort of stricter rules and regulations, because it would put more properties, they believe, back into the long-term rental sector, but you don't necessarily think it would work that way.
I don't. I mean, of the one or two owners I know one guy in particular, and he told me if he's going to be told what to do, he's going to sign the property over to one of his kids. Simple as. Or he's going to sell it. You know, It is. That lady that came on there a second ago, I forget her name, but she
Lily,
said they're being used as, they're being used as scapegoats. And it's what this government always do. They did it with car insurers. They said, oh, the guy claiming for a whiplash neck, he's, you know, they scapegoated this person. They scapegoat consultants to
okay.
Give out
well, like they'll say
there,
this is, I mean,
know.
They seem to believe that this is going to be one way to try to help with the housing situation. But you, as somebody who's on the house hunting.
Andrea, I'll tell you, you talk to any taxi man in the area I'm in, and they'll tell you in summertime, are you busy? No, it's a lot of day trippers coming in from the city. There's no beds in the area anymore. The hotels are gone.
Well, look, I'm glad to hear, Mal, even for the interim period, you got something and got accommodation. Good to hear, and thanks for getting in touch with us again. Listener says, in Kenmare, there's no accommodation for staff. There is no staff. There's no restaurants. There's no bars. Yes, there should be some management around this. Jerry in Dungarvan tells me that Airbnb owners are just out to make more money than by having long-term rentals at all. And in West Cork, this listener says they're plagued with Airbnbs. If you look at Baltimore, people can't afford to live and work. Businesses work under capacity because they can't get the staff. People who rent homes are turfed out during the summer and those prices are hiked up. And again, another listener, there's no affordable accommodation for staff to live in these areas to service these tourists. And second homeowners all along the West Coast, restaurants can't get staff, no rental accommodation. And at no affordable places or prices. Keep your thoughts coming into us, 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.